You know, over the last number of weeks, we have been studying Jesus's many parables, and this week we're going to be looking at an interaction that Jesus had with the temple priests and elders in Matthew chapter 21. Now, the priests and the elders were used to having authority. People paid attention to what they said. You know, these folks enjoyed being the experts. Kind of like the final word, the final say. And Jesus came on to the scene and people responded to him. Many of the people paid more attention to him than they did to the leaders. And as a result, it bothered them. And then Jesus said things about the priests and the teachers of the law. And they didn't like it. I mean, Jesus threatened them. In Matthew chapter 21, Jesus had come into the temple and disrupted business. It was the busiest time of the year. Jerusalem was swollen to capacity. People were arriving for the Passover feast, and Jesus was just a thorn in the side of these leaders. And so they come to Jesus wanting to trap him. And I suspect they strode up to Jesus with a bunch of false bravado, as much as they could muster. Begins our scripture from Matthew 21. By what authority, they said to Jesus, by what authority are you doing all these things? Who gave you the right? I'll tell you by what authority I do these things if you answer one question, Jesus replied. Did John's authority to baptize come from heaven, or was it merely human? They talked it over amongst themselves. If we say from heaven, he'll ask us why we didn't believe John. But if we say it was merely human, we'll be mobbed because the people believe that John was a prophet. And so they finally replied, we don't know. And Jesus responded, then I won't tell you by what authority that I do these things. Now, once again, these leaders think they have Jesus backed into a corner. If Jesus says that his authority is from God, they'll call Jesus a blasphemer. If he says he has no authority, they'll ridicule him and call him an impostor. However, the saddest thing about this story is that the leaders simply asked the wrong question. They said to Jesus, where do you get your authority? When they should have been asking, is this man speaking the truth? Now, they didn't debate whether John had come from God. They didn't care. They didn't care about the truthfulness of what Jesus was saying either. They simply wanted to protect their hold on power. Now, pride can be an incredible hindrance to our faith. People don't like to admit that they have a need. And if someone ever voices a criticism, right, our natural inclination always is to put our fists up and get ready to a fight. Right, we become defensive when somebody criticizes us. And I think deep down, we don't like to admit that we're sinful. Deep down, I don't think we like to admit that we cannot save ourselves. And we don't like this notion of submitting to the authority of another, even if it's God himself. The only antidote to this harmful and destructive tendency is to humble ourselves before the Lord. And they were to understand that their authority was a derived authority. It came from and it was under the authority of the Lord. This means that our decisions, actions, Even the things we ask others to do must be motivated not by our agenda or priorities, but by the Lord's. I mean, even if people answer to us, we answer to the Lord. And so Jesus now turns to the parable once again to illustrate a heavenly truth. How do we know if we respect God's authority? Jesus says, "But what do you think about this? A man with two sons told the older son, the older boy, 'Son, go out and work in the vineyard today.' The son answered, 'No, I won't.' But later he changed his mind and he went anyways. And then the father told the other son, 'You go.' And he said, 'Yes, sir, I will.' But he didn't go. Which of the two obeyed the father?" They, right, the teachers of the law, the scribes, the Pharisees who were listening to Jesus, they said the first. Then Jesus explained his meaning. "I tell you the truth, corrupt tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you do. For John the Baptist came and showed you the right way to live, even though you didn't believe in him, while tax collectors and prostitutes did. And even while you saw this happening, yet you refused to believe in him and repent, believe him, not believe in him, believe him and repent of your sins." Jesus asked, "Which of these two obeyed the Father?" The answer was as obvious to them as it is to us, right? The one who did what the Father had asked. And then Jesus draws this lesson that John the Baptist came and called people to baptism and repentance for the remission of sin. The religious leaders may have been initially fascinated by John, but they would not repent, and they would not come to John for baptism. Because repentance means admitting that you had done something wrong. And the Pharisees were far too proud to do such a thing. The tax collectors and the prostitutes, on the other hand, may have initially resisted John's message, but then eventually came to be baptized. They recognized that something in their life needed to be changed because John convicted them of their sin. Even amidst the great revival that was happening with this ministry of John, even after seeing lives changed in incredible ways, these leaders would not repent. Now, faith is not the ability to answer questions on the exam. Faith is following the Lord. The true disciple is not the one who has spent years and years and years in the church. A true disciple is one who trusts the Lord, trusts Christ as their Savior, and follows them as King. You know, no matter how much authority you are entrusted with in your life, you are still under the authority of the Lord and the Word of God. When we begin to believe that we are the ultimate authority, we're in big trouble because we suffer from a serious delusion. Right? All authority, remember, all authority is derived from God. He is the ultimate authority. And we are responsible for those, we are responsible to Him. And those who do not respect his authority will face the consequences. I think what this means practically is that when we are given a measure of authority over others, we are to use it as in ways that God commands. God says authority is not about power or abuse, it is about service. We are to use our authority to guide others and to equip them. And Paul told his protege Timothy that he had the responsibility as a pastor to always teach the truth, that he must not tailor the truth to his purposes or to his advantages. James reminds us that those who teach, that those who have authority will face a stricter judgment. I mean, practically, I think it means this. A pastor will be judged based upon how faithfully they taught and how consistently they showed love and grace, not by how big they built a church or how popular they became. A parent will be judged based upon how well they trained their child in the things of God and how effectively they have trained their children to live faithful lives rather than simply indulging them or how making them understand how cool you are. A teacher will be judged by how carefully they taught their students rather than how well they taught the curriculum. They will be judged on how well they equip students to think rather than to simply get a grade. Legislators will be judged not by how well they defended their party's platform, but by how well they defended their people's, their constituents' freedoms. A spouse will be judged by how well they honor and serve and cherish their spouse, rather than by how much they can buy or how much they can get from their mate. These men asked Jesus about authority, but they knew nothing about it. They were simply trying to protect their power. If they were concerned about authority, they would have pulled out the scriptures to see if what Jesus was saying was true. And after seeing that it was, they would have followed Jesus as the Lord of life. Salvation is not based upon pedigree or income or position. It is based upon the genuineness of your faith. It is not about the information you possess, the education you have, the charisma you may have. It is about following Christ as your Lord and Savior. The tax collectors and the prostitutes were on the very lowest rung of the social ladder. Many people around them would have simply dismissed them as lost causes. Yet Jesus said that they would enter the kingdom of God before any of the teachers and the leaders in Israel. And it's important for us to hear this. You may be here today thinking it is too late for you. You have too many scars. You've hurt too many people. And you have done things that you are ashamed to tell others about. Perhaps people shun you because your reputation is so bad. But here is the good news. Christ died for you. And he invites you to come to him for forgiveness and a new life. And when you do that, when any of us do that, our past, all of it, is forgiven, and God will give you his Spirit and lead you to a new life, a new beginning, and a fresh start. His love is anchored to what you were made to be, to what you still can be, not what you have done or where you have failed. He is not looking at you in terms of your past, but in terms of your future. And so in his name, I invite you to come to him. You know, in the quiet of your heart, just say a simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I have messed up big time. And I want to be made new. I want to be a part of your family. I believe you died for me. I don't know why, but I believe you when you say that anyone who comes to you will not be cast away. And so I come to you, Jesus. I bring you all of the broken pieces of my life and ask you for forgiveness and new life. Help me to follow you from this day forward. when we come to the Lord with that kind of thinking, when we come to the Lord with that kind of prayer, it's not how we look or even the words that we say. It's what exists in our heart. And we're doing what God the Father has asked us to do, to repent and believe. We're placing ourselves under His authority. We're saying, God, I need You. And I humble myself before You. And so take my life. It's Yours. And any one of us who does that will be forgiven. You will be saved. So come to the Lord. Receive His love and His forgiveness. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we are thankful for You. Forgive us for our self-madeness. Forgive us for thinking, Lord, that we can stand on our own 2 feet by ourselves. Help us to see that we truly need You. And Jesus, when we accept You, when we receive this free gift, You cleanse us and forgive us and make us new. Thank You, Jesus, for the invitation. It's in Your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.